Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning is drawn from Numbers chapter 21, and then also from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 14. From Mount Hor they set out by way of the Red Sea to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. And then Jesus, remembering that story, says in John's Gospel these words, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Joe preached last week in his good sermon, for those of you who are here, about how what might God be calling us to do? What tables might God be asking us to turn over in the temple of our lives? That is, what changes might we be called to make? It's hard to make changes. It's also hard when it feels that change is thrust upon us, as is the case from our reading from the Old Testament. The people are wandering in the wilderness, and they feel like the changes they're facing are just too great for them. They had been slaves in Egypt, and they longed for freedom, but now that they're free, it's not exactly what they anticipated. Freedom comes, but they don't like it. They don't like the responsibility of it. They don't like the danger of it. And they're afraid. They're afraid. They begin to grouse about the food, about the water. They grumble and they complain. It's easy to have sympathy for them, of course. They're strangers in a strange land plodding through the desert. They aren't positive after they've had the thrill of escaping Pharaoh's army. They're not positive in this sparse place that they're even going to live, that they're going to survive their freedom. So naturally, they worry, and perhaps even they play the victim card. This change is just too much. We didn't really ask for this change. We're not in charge of this change. It's just too much. And they play the ain't it awful game. These changes have been thrust upon us, and we're not sure about it. So they nag. They nag about Moses. They nag about God. They nag about the food. They detest the food, Scripture says. What does God do? It seems that God snaps. You know, I'm thinking of when my boys and my wife would sit down to a meal that my mother made. And John Mark would say, "Ooh, what's this black stuff on the meat?" And my mom would say, well, that's pepper. And Joseph would say, "I'm not really hungry, Roro." And Ben would say, "Are we supposed to eat this?" You don't want to put down somebody who's worked hard for you, do you? That's just not a good etiquette, to say the least. You might have a bunch of food against the wall and plates broken on the floor. And I'm seeing something in Scripture here that reminds me of that. God seems to snap. How does God answer these complaints? How does God respond to these concerns? He sends snakes. Not just snakes, but poisonous snakes. It's as if to say, "You don't like the food? Well, try these for size." The only thing that could have been worse, it seems to me, is if God rained down spiders. Well, naturally, the people very quickly repent. They're sorry. They apologize to God. They say to Moses, "Do something about this. Do something." And Moses, who often seems kind of stuck almost haplessly in the middle, because remember, Moses didn't ask for this job, but Moses speaks on behalf of the people to God, and God, of course, comes up with a plan. And he tells Moses to take a snake, a bronze snake, and twine it around a pole, and then lift that pole up so that anybody, if they're ever bit by a poisonous snake, before they die, all they have to do is look at the pole, and they will be restored to health. That bronze snake on the pole, you all have seen that before, right? I mean, it's a symbol for healing. This rod of Asclepius, it harkens from ancient Greek and Egyptian mythology. And it has that snake twining against the pole, and we see that as a sign of healing. I think the point of this story from Numbers, at least one of the points, it's not that God sends snakes to complainers, though that is happening here. That's not the point. The point is that God is in the rescue business. God delivers the people. In this case, he just recently delivered them from slavery under Pharaoh's hand, and now God rescues the people dying from poison snake bites by giving them this method, this pole to look at with the snake on it. God is in the rescue business, and why? Because God loves us. Because God has mercy on us, even when we don't deserve it. God is in the rescue business. God is in the business of redeeming. God is in the business of making the old new. God is in the business of cleaning things up and making things shine. That's God's business. It's the business of holiness. It's the business of glory. God's in the rescue business. Now, Jesus would remember this story in John's gospel. We just read it. He said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." That lifted up cross and Jesus' journey to the cross, which we've been reading about in Scripture these days, that cross and that journey remind us that God rescues us. God heals us. God delivers us from persecution, from slavery, from worry, from despair. That's the business God is in, bringing peace, deep peace, peace that passes understanding, peace that wakes us up and encourages us and settles us. That's God's business. God rescues us indeed from death itself. "Look at me," Jesus seems to be saying in the Gospels. "Look at me. Look at me and remember how God works. Remember who God is, what God is about. Look at me. God brings healing. Listen to what I'm saying. God brings hope. God walks with us through the troubles of life. Trust me," Jesus seems to be saying to his disciples again and again and again. God is about life, about your life, about communal life, about eternal life. So these texts taken together are about wholeness, healing, heaven. And these texts are about our journey with God. We're making our way across the deserts of life to a promised land. And while we're on this journey, we're called to bear with one another. We're called to love one another. We're called to get along with one another. We're called not to complain so much about the food and to grouse and to moan. We're called to travel with courage, with a good spirit, with humility, trusting God as we go. Being honest with God, sure, God, this food's not so great, and the water isn't as clear or as plenteous as I'd like, but you're with me, God. I trust you. And I'm waiting for that red lobster on the horizon, but I trust you until then, even if that doesn't happen. I trust you, and I'm glad you walk with me. Encourage me, God. Encourage me. God is in the rescue business, which is another way of saying that God redeems and loves the world and everybody in it. God is in the business of redemption, of care, of nurture, of encouragement. And Jesus invites us to join this family business, invites us to be partners in this family business. We're invited to be in the rescue business, the love business. We're invited to extend this caring to our aching world. It's not just good news for us, though it is good news for us, but it's good news to share. Amen? So we don't just hoard it. We don't just thank God for it and then keep it on a stand and put the lid over it like a light. No, we take the basket off. This good news for us to enjoy is good news for us to share and to live. So we receive it and we also give it away. 59 years ago, last week, on the 7th of March, I believe, 600 civil rights workers gathered in Selma for the 54-mile walk to the state capital of Alabama, Montgomery. 600 of them gathered, and as these mostly religious Jews and Christians began their walk to rescue our country from the grip of racism, as they began this walk 6 blocks in on the Edmund Pettus Bridge on what has become known as Bloody Sunday, state and local lawmen attacked the marchers with billy clubs and with tear gas. We saw this horror from the comfort of our own living rooms on our television sets with the network news breaking into regularly scheduled programming to show us what was happening in real time on that day. And we were outraged. And we took to the streets, white people and black people, and we took to the streets in protest. A white minister was killed on that bridge, died a few days later. John Lewis was beaten senseless, and others were broken and beaten as well. Our whole country was broken that day. 2 weeks later, the march from Selma ended up at Montgomery with 25,000 people strong. There are no issues of states' rights or the nation's rights, said President Johnson. There is only the struggle for human rights. We are in the business of rescuing one another from systems that are broken. We are in the love business. We are in the business of being a good neighbor with our brothers and sisters. Scripture teaches that Jesus came for our salvation. That word salvation means healing. Wholeness. It means shalom. It means peace. It means union with God. That's why Jesus came. And that gift is God's gift of love given to us that we are called to share and to live. That gift of wholeness and that peace. The heaven that Jesus has in mind is not just some future generation on the other side of Jordan. The heaven Jesus came to bring was a way of living in the here and now, where people are loved and welcomed and tenderly cared for. Jesus, lifted high on the cross, says, "Remember me, trust my promises, follow me, don't stand still, get up, walk with me to Selma, to Gaza, to Kiev. Walk with me with Dream and the Refugee Center and Courage Connection. Come with me and sit around the table as we pray and weep and study scripture at Safe House. Come with me to Bob and Christy in South Sudan and Indonesia and the Congo and Sangla Hill. Come with me to the border of our country. Gather your bags and come with me to Havana. May we say, ah, holy Jesus, guide our steps. And where you go, we go. And what you do, we'll try to do too, in your honor, to God's glory, with the Spirit's help. He would say later, and I would say to you now, let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. May we pray. Oh God, heal us to be healers, for we ask it in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.